So this is an exploratory presentation. I haven't come to any definitions, but I'm exploring it with my teacher, Suzanne, and having quite a lot of fun with it. We have kind of given birth to Integral Africa because the work that I've been doing in... I want you to say hello first. So I'm going to say Sarabona. And it's deeply important to have that greeting because in Africa, Sarabona means I see you and all that you are. And the response is Sikona. Say it. Sikona, which is I am here. And of course, this is through my lens when I say I see you and I engage with you as a community. The proposition that I've had to develop with this work, I've been teaching integral coaching a la Africa and leadership, working with leadership for the last 20 years. Having met Suzanne in Denver in 2006, after I'd done a doctorate in developing supervision, comparing the helping professions with supervision of executive coaching. And what was interesting for me in that development is that I looked at it through the integral map, which I'd met Wilbur, as Wilbur's work, in a post-psychology master's course in the transpersonal work. And the spectrum of consciousness gave me, like many people, an aha, this is the way. So I'm a developmental psychologist at heart. And part of the challenge of being in Africa is that I am not black. I come to unpack some of the European and Western concepts through the obvious barrier of my skin. And although not everyone sees it, it is absolutely there. And my own journey to finding a developmental model when even the word development in Africa is so contained with a European or a bias around the dominant culture of the West. You need to be developed. So the exploration around this work has been deeply personal in finding my own voice, finding my own relevance, not leaving South Africa, which has gone through its own process, and that's that I could speak to you all day about, from having a very green constitution and a very post-conventional president to somebody who was working very much at a base level for the last 10 years and has corrupted the system completely, to someone who's very orange now and is able to bring a rational experience, but he's only been in for the last 3 months. So that is the context. But the bigger question is, how do we treat each other? And that there is no other. But what are the constructs that create otherness? And this journey that I have done is really the journey from the white perspective. Pushback, I've done that. So what I'm really trying to find is an African dialect for integral in the African context, something that won't be pushed away. I, for many reasons, have turned the quadrant model upside down because it actually has a deep experience of relativity and is easier to teach when I work in the context that I'm working. What lies below the consciousness and what lies above the consciousness. So I can speak in organizations and with communities and with the really, I work a lot with higher education. It makes sense. So the fundamental thing I want you to hold is that we are talking of a perspective from the African view of a collective worldview. A collective worldview, it starts on the right. When we work from the European perspective of growth and development, it starts from the interior of the left. Me, I, how do I develop? The African perspective starts from the bottom right. Who are we in all of this? How does the individual find expression in this thing which we call African philosophy? It's got different names from different regions, but from the Southern African region, it is called Ubuntu. Take a breath. Oh my goodness. Have I got 15 minutes left? Okay. So, I am because we are. Feels like the key polarity that we've got to hold. And when the individualistic collective argument comes out, when I'm trying to teach and work with developing an integral mindset and an integral way of being with the people that I work with, I have a lot of skeptics sitting in the group. Now, I live in Cape Town, and I was brought up in Johannesburg, but I live in Cape Town. Cape Town still has much residue of the European culture. Johannesburg is a truly African city. The people that I have in the room in Cape Town look very similar to you, with a few black colored people. When I'm in Johannesburg, there's one or two white European faces. And I have to adjust and do this movement all the time, holding this balance. And of course, it talks deeply to my own personal journey all the time. So there's a real challenge about what are the tapes that are playing? What are the lenses that are being looked at from the white African in Europe and from this integral European dialect, which is about East-West? Do you notice you never hear anything about below the equator? It just doesn't feature. A little bit of Egypt gets put into the history, and we love the pyramids. However, but Africa is mostly seen around the animals, not about the people. And there's been 300 years where something has happened around the... I loved what Ken spoke about yesterday, day before, when he talked about how religions have pushed one down into the fear perspective, and that's what happened in Africa. Christianity came in. It could not rise through the developmental stages. It kept people at a particular stage, and my hypothesis here is that I think the African people were at a later stage, and they made use, abused something of the collective wisdom and the relational space of the African and pushed it down to keep it in to what is now known as tribal, animistic, and really not terribly sophisticated. The saddest thing is that the mind of the African has been colonized itself. And when I speak to my colleagues, and Dumisani Magledla is, I wish he was here. If we come back another time, he will be here. He and I exploring this with other colleagues of ours from the different perspectives is how do we decolonize education and learning? So how do I present integral theory as a decolonized expression of itself? Not I, we are speaking I for the collective few. So I know this is a busy slide. I haven't got to the simplicity of this all yet. Sorry, I'm still exploring. So it's devoid of the African narrative, integral theory as it stands. Dominant systems of thought in the world, spoke about Wilbur. The ideologies have infiltrated the land. Africa's seen as the dark continent. There's a fallacy that the African situation is archaic and doesn't have anything to contribute. It others the African ways to grow. And this has led to the split between the individualistic and Africa's communal. It's been used for its resources, not for its wisdom. And the wisdom of Africa needs to be expressed much more. You'll see often places like Africa has been ravaged by Ebola in the headlines, whereas it's only one tiny little area. Africa is just constellated as similar. I've heard the German, I heard Switzerland talk about, I live in this canton, never mind that canton. So how can we just collapse Africa into one single entity. And this is going to blow your mind. This is Lord Macaulay's address to the British Parliament on the 2nd of February, 1835. I have travelled across the length and breadth of Africa, and I have not seen one person who is a beggar, who is a thief. Such wealth I have seen in this country, such high moral values, people of such caliber, that I do not think we would ever conquer this country unless we break the very backbone of this nation, which is her spiritual and cultural heritage. And therefore, I propose that we replace her old and ancient education system, her culture, for if the Africans think that all that is foreign and English is good and greater than their own, they will lose their self-esteem, their native culture, and they will become what we want them, a truly dominated nation. It's hard to stand up sometimes with that. So bringing the African voice into the collective discourse, Ubuntu sees reaching autonomy through relationships and community, and I'm using Ubuntu as a possible process of developmental theory, getting there. The Western philosophies, you reach autonomy through objects and materialistic things. Obviously, that is quite a reductionist description, but I want to drive home a point. Yeah, I've reiterated that. One of our Nobel Prize winners said, in the course of history, there comes a time when humanity is called to shift a new level of consciousness, to reach a higher moral ground, a time when we have to shed our fear and give hope to each other, and that time is now. So in proposing and unpacking Ubuntu, we're asking, and I must say, to my sadness, but I'm not a linguist, I can't get my clicks around the Ubuntu, Nugumuntu, Nagabantu, which means I am because of all of you. My existence is because of the collective. Understanding the linguistics of Ubuntu is that the root of Ntu is in many cultures. So those words, it's expressed in different ways across the African continent. However, it is about a deep vital force of humanity. The community, you're only as successful, only as healthy as the culture, as your group is, as your community is. You cannot separate out of the community. It's not in a diplomatic stage. It's not in an early stage development. Or some places it is. But in its grandest form, it really has a different expression where the sense of empathy, all the things that we're trying to cultivate in the connectedness, in being one with the earth, seems to have been there already in the wisest of the cultures. So in I was at a conference last year in Gaborone in Botswana, where a traditional healer who had studied at Oxford, very wise man, said the African's connection with the earth, understanding that Mother Earth is the soul, that the horrible rampant use of the negative masculine in the world creates the rape, creates the pillage. So when you can destroy Mother Earth, you can rape a woman. When you're not connected to the creative identity and the life-giving source of everything, you can destroy it, you can pillage it, you can damage it, you can create environmental harm. And if that is not connected to humanity, the deep sense of humanity where I see you as another human being and we are part of something bigger, I can then destroy you because you're othered. So when the West has othered the African people in such a way, it has destroyed some essence of it, which is trying to revive. And of course, when anything tries to revive itself, it comes back very strong. It comes back with red energy. sometimes useful, healthy red energy, but on other times, not so healthy. Ubuntu defined, it's the essence of being human. It speaks of the fact that my humanity is caught up and it is inextricably bound up in yours. I am human because I belong, not because of who I am. It speaks about wholeness. It speaks about compassion. A person with Ubuntu is welcoming, hospitable, warm, generous, willing to share. Such people are open and available to others, willing to be vulnerable, affirming of others, do not feel threatened that others are able and good, for they have a proper self-assurance that comes from knowing that they belong to the greater whole. They know that they are diminished when others are humiliated, diminished when others are oppressed, diminished when others are treated as if they were less than who they are. The quality of Ubuntu gives people resilience, enabling them to survive and emerge still human despite all efforts to dehumanize them. And this capacity speaks of how Mandela was able to be in prison for 27 years and still come through. I think more people should have been imprisoned so that they could have had that meditative space. But of course, it would have depended on their own sense of maturity, whether they could have used that. So some African concepts have implication for our conceptualization of human beingness, which is seen as enfolded in the becoming more human, the human functioning, the human development, and the African tree of life is universal. There's a saying, one finger cannot pick up a grain. So the communal and the collective wisdom and the collective interaction and consideration is very important. It has its traces, I'm going to rush a little bit here, it has its traces back to the supreme goddess in Maat and Ethiopia. These were just interesting, playful moments where you become a little creative, where you can explore the concept of Ubuntu in any artwork. So how do we put that into this map? So individual development is enfolded in the collective. So there's something about what I'm trying to develop is in the dependent stage, and the interdependency. I think there are stages through this communal process, and this is what we're exploring deeper and deeper. Ubuntu intelligence can also be seen as a line of development, where it can be seen as an intelligence on its own, and that we're exploring. So authentic consciousness, there can be no I without a we. There's a spiritual awareness of the self, and that is supported by an ancestral awareness, socio-historical awareness, psychological awareness, and destiny and purpose awareness. The spiritual journey of the African is that it includes a microcosmos and a mesocosmos and a macrocosmos. And again, they're all enfolded in each other. Parts of it address everyday living, and parts of it connect to the spiritual union. In trying to unpack it through Suzanne's stages, we're looking at how it could be presented at different stages. So in the self-protective, it may be used to serve me and to honor the spirits as demanding. In the social-centric self, Ubuntu is connection or expedience, tradition serves the clan. In the specialist self, Ubuntu collective to be served through self, but separate creates the self as separate creates conflict. Truth in skills that can be offered to the group. In the independent stage, it may struggle to find its expression as the collective pulls it back to the independent stage. And it moves on to a different expression of itself through those stages. So, what can I end on? Seeing Ubuntu as an integrating principle, and part of the biggest challenge today is to contextualize this in the global village. Thank you.